Our reading is taken from the second book of Timothy, chapter 3, verse 10, starting on page 1196 in our pew Bibles. Paul's charge to Timothy. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. That would be great if you could keep your Bibles open before you and on page 1196 in your pew Bibles. I haven't said that for a while. That's amazing to say. If you would like to, do follow it, or else follow it on your app on your phone or wherever else. Let me pray for us as we begin. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way in which you can speak to us through it. And we pray that we would come this morning with open hearts and minds and lives to what you would say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you are what you eat. That's a slogan that actually dates back to the early 20th century, but it refers to the fact that the idea really that food controls our health. So if we eat good food, we'll be healthy. If we eat bad food, we'll be unhealthy. The more healthy the food you put into your bodies, the more you have energy and can think straight. And what you eat matters. If you want to run a marathon, it certainly does. If you want to lose weight, what you eat matters. My children, I wanted to lose some weight. And of course, there was a direct relation between what I ate and whether I achieved my goal. I certainly had to say no to those biscuits at work, for one thing. You are what you eat. Today we're continuing our sermon series, Holy Habits. We're thinking about establishing good habits in our lives as Christians. Maybe in lockdown we've got into some bad habits as Christians. We're thinking about those habits that will sustain us as Christians and help us to grow. We've looked at solitude and prayer so far, and this morning we're looking at study, specifically study of the Bible. It's probably important to say that when I'm talking about Bible reading this morning, I'm talking about what we do in that place that hopefully we've found where we can be alone with God. Obviously, we study the Bible in church or in small groups, and please let me know if you'd love to be part of a small group. But this morning, we're just thinking about the habit we can adopt around Bible reading in our day-to-day lives, on our own, on a regular basis, that will help us to grow as Christians. Because after all, you are what you eat. And the Bible is our spiritual food. It's referred to as our milk, our bread, our solid food, and in the reading from Psalm 19 that we just used together, sweeter than honey. The Bible is essential to our Christian lives, as basic a need as food is to our bodies. But if someone said, "Why do you read the Bible? Isn't it a bit out of date?" I wonder what you'd say. You might be able to see where they're coming from. It was written, you know, certainly the early parts, 2,000 to 3,500 years ago. It's the history of a people we've never heard of. It talks about what food we should and shouldn't eat, how you should sacrifice animals. It sounds like it has little to say to us today. But actually, and amazingly, the Bible never goes out of date. So as we look at this passage in Paul's letter to Timothy today, we're going to consider where the Bible has come from and what it's for, and then we're going to get a little bit practical, just so you know the way we're heading this morning. So where the Bible has come from. All scripture, our reading said, is God-breathed. When Paul was writing, scripture meant the Old Testament, but it was also coming to include all that was being taught in the early church. We read here that Timothy is urged to hold on to all that he's been taught by Paul. And Paul's letters begin to be seen as inspired by God, and other people describe them as scriptures. And then the Gospels are written down by eyewitnesses. The early church came to live by and die by these words. And we live in the time when scripture is complete. All scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God, brought into existence by the breath of the Spirit of God, breathed out by him. Scripture originated in God's mind and was communicated by his breath. We call the Bible the Word of God because he spoke it. And in doing so, God spoke through human writers who were inspired by him to write in their particular place and at their particular time. God uses their humanity and their experience. He works through them and guides them so that they always wrote the eternal truth. If the Bible is God's Word, then it is alive. Paul is saying it speaks to us today. Hebrews describes the Bible as living and active. It's like a sharp sword that cuts through our thoughts and attitudes and shows them up for what they are. It's not like an old law book, which still contains up-to-date law, is true, but could be dry and boring. I apologize to any lawyers here today. When you open the Bible, think of it not as an old book, but a little bit like picking up the phone and finding your creator on the other end of the line. God is speaking. That is what is really happening as we read the Bible. And if the Bible is God's word, then it follows that in line with who God is, the Bible doesn't lie or make mistakes. It can be trusted. All scripture is God-breathed. And that means we cannot pick and choose from the Bible what we want to believe is inspired. So, some of us might not like those old laws in Leviticus. You think, well, what's the point of them, really? Others might not, you know, believe in the virgin birth, perhaps. So we take that bit out. Or perhaps we don't like the fact that in Matthew, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, "Unless you forgive people, your heavenly Father won't forgive you." Well, I don't really like that bit. Or perhaps the resurrection. I don't really believe that that happened. So we'll take that out as well. But the Bible doesn't allow us to pick and choose. And we're standing on shaky ground if you or I are the ones who decide what is or isn't true within it. The story goes that the amazing evangelist Billy Graham, in the early days of his ministry, had doubts about the accuracy and authority of the Bible. And one night he dropped to his knees and wept and told God that in spite of all the passages that he didn't understand, from that point on he would completely trust the Bible as the sole authority for his life and his ministry. And from that day on, his ministry grew in its effectiveness. Scripture and all of it has been breathed by God. And as Moses said when he had finished writing the words of the law, these words are not just empty words for you, they are your life. The word of God is life to Moses, food to Jesus, the light for the psalmist's path, and it mustn't be anything less to us. So given that that is where the Bible has come from, what is the Bible for? Why do we read it? In verse 15, we read that the scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's essentially the purpose of the Bible, not to teach facts of science, but of salvation, to bring people to faith in Jesus. Without the Bible, we would not know of God's salvation plan that we see across the sweep of the Bible. Man's creation in God's image, his fall into sin, God's continuing love despite that rebellion, God's plan to save us through a covenant of grace based on God's actions, not ours, a covenant that culminated in Jesus coming to earth, dying to bear our sin, rising from death, exalted to heaven, and sending the Holy Spirit. Our rescue from sin and death is known only to us through the Bible, which focuses on Jesus from start to finish, so that we may have faith in him as the only one who can provide salvation for us. So the Bible is there to enable us to find Jesus, to trust in him, and have life in his name. It's not there so we can fill our heads with knowledge and wisdom, but that our lives are changed and we are saved. And secondly, the Bible we read is useful. Verse 16, it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, and equipping us for every good work. Its value relates to what we believe and how we behave. And so that's how we grow as Christians. The Bible teaches us the truth. It shows us where any error might be. It's our benchmark by which we assess what we hear in church or measure what's happening in the world around us. It's our handbook for what we should believe and how we should live our lives. As we read the Bible, we should expect to be corrected. The word correction is from a Greek word for straight. The scriptures straighten our lives out. Paul expects the Bible to tell us off when we're getting things wrong. We should expect to find God saying things that we don't like or that we find difficult. And then when that happens, the question is whether we will accept what the Bible says as the God-breathed word. When you're on your own, as you find time to read the Bible faithfully and regularly, you will find that there are occasions when God speaks to you, especially through his word. And it will teach and rebuke you and train you and correct you as you need. And I thought I would share some examples. There was one day when God told me off for my judgmental attitude towards someone in my family. He reminded me from Matthew 7 that I couldn't possibly take the speck out of their eye while I had a massive plank in my own. Well, there was the challenge I felt from Psalm 73 one day about God's place in my life as I compared myself with a non-Christian who seemed to have a much more carefree and certainly a wealthier life than I did. Or God telling me that in dragging my feet as I was about becoming ordained, I was just like Moses who said, "Please, Lord, just send someone else." Or the time when the Bible gave me the words to pray for my brother as he neared the end of his life. My Bible reading that day was the prayer of Jabez, and it gave me words to pray for him. Let your hand be with him and keep him from harm so that he will be free from pain. Now, in sharing these, I don't want you to think that every time I read the Bible, ping, the words leap off the page and I feel God is speaking into my situation. These are examples over a number of years, but just ones that came to mind. So it's just a feeble attempt, really, to show that God's word is living and active and will speak into your life. Of course, when we read the Bible, it's really important to set passages in context. And in our reading, Paul is reminding Timothy of the importance of Scripture so that he will stand firm in the faith that he's been taught by those around him and that he's read of in the Scriptures. Timothy is living in a time of godlessness, a decline in morals, religion that was just for show, and false teaching. So Paul says twice, in verse 10, he says, "You, however," and verse 14, "but as for you, Timothy, you are called to be different, to stand alone if necessary, to suffer, but to resist the pressure to conform, to resist the pressure of the culture around." This reading is about continuing, going on, remaining in the faith, and holding on to God's word, because it is God's word, because it has power and changes lives. We need to hear that message today in our world and keep going. Even if holding on to the truth of God's word, we become very unpopular with the world around us. And so some practical pointers as you seek to read the Bible and listen to what it says. Whether you've been reading the Bible for 40 years or for 40 minutes, the call to us all today is to keep going and regularly and do not give up. Remember, we're all different. Keep it fresh. Do something new. Shake it up. So here we go. We need the Holy Spirit in order to understand the Bible and for it to affect our lives. So pray as you come to God's word. Pray before you open your Bible. Pray when you get stuck. Pray when you understand it. "I don't get it, Lord," or "I'm struggling to accept that bit that you're saying there, Lord," or "this is amazing, Lord." Don't discard the bits that you find uncomfortable. Grapple with them. Ask someone else. Remember that the ultimate purpose of Scripture is not the text itself, but a joyful friendship with the living God that the Bible helps us to encounter. The Bible is there to draw us to Jesus. To become like him, we need his word. Buy a version of the Bible that's easier to understand, if that's helpful. Start with a gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You can use daily Bible reading notes. Go across to Shoemakers in the week and see what they've got there. Or take a passage and mull it over slowly, seeing what words leap out and pray them through. Work through a book of the Bible. Learn more about the author and the context. Use a Bible app. YouVersion, for example, has plans you can follow. Or get an audio Bible and hear it spoken out. Maybe keep the same passage with you all week. Read it aloud. Imagine the story. Memorize it. Or take one verse into the day with you and chew on it all day. Read the Bible in a year, or the Psalms over 4 months, or the book of Proverbs in a month by reading one chapter every day. Be creative. Draw, photograph, mold in clay an image that speaks to you of a passage from the Bible. Keep a journal of how you believe God is speaking through his word. Remember that the Bible has something to say about all our 21st century problems, even if it doesn't name them. Parenting teenagers is not mentioned in the Bible, but the Bible has plenty to say about that stage in life and how to equip teenagers to be wise. Pray through what you've read and allow it to change you. Put what you read into practice. Remember, you are what you eat. Make sure you're feeding regularly on the Word of God. It's the way to find faith, to grow in faith, and to continue in faith, making you strong. So the message version of the last few verses of our reading goes like this. There's nothing like the written Word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your Word, that it is that those words bring life, that the Bible is food for us and light for our path. Lord, we pray that you would help us to build this holy habit, and Lord, that we would experience the wonder of your Word coming alive to us here today. In Jesus' name. Amen.